Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
Joining us now, America's basketball dad, who, by the way, I had a little something come up the other night. Paula's grandfather, the girl's great-grandfather, who's 93, sharp as a tack, had some health issues, so I went to visit him instead of going to this game between the Ashwaubenon Jaguars and the DePere Redbirds. But I did get to watch the second half on YouTube, and I got to see Isaac Herlash, who I once held as a baby, dish the ball to Roan Domofsky for the game-winning bucket to beat the Ashwaubenon Jaguars. And I know both their dads. I love both their dads, and I bet both their dads are really, really proud this week. One of them joins us now, and it's not Will Herlash.
How's Ashwaubenon feeling?
It's Rob Domofsky. Hey, they designed, Rob, help me out here. They designed one hell of a 1.6-second play that got a Division I basketball player a pretty good look from half court. And I bet you're a little worried.
Except they needed 1.7 or 8 because it would not have counted.
Indeed. How you doing?
Wave it off.
Hell of a game, buddy.
Yeah, it was. If I had hair, I wouldn't have any now, so. We had some missed free throws before. I don't know that I've been a part of a game or seen a game where it was like a 12 or 14 point lead with about 3 or 4 minutes to go, and mm-hmm. we lost it all. So,
yes, there were some missed free throws, but the hero comes through in the end with the big bucket to win the ball
game. Hey, Rob, before we get into Packers talk, help us out because Jason and I, our kids are younger than yours. You went around, I'm guessing, hoops-wise, to all these tournaments and AAU stuff. What was your car ride policy with your kids after games?
Well, when they started to get their learner's permits, I was hoping they would do some of the driving, Tausch, and they didn't. None of it.
Like, not happening.
To Kansas City and back was all me, so that wasn't good. We typically had a good mix of conversation and, you know, little of their own Netflix headphone time. I think it was a good mix. So I don't know. There was no – I don't think we had a policy, but I think we just had a good mix of – we also liked to eat pretty well. Like, we were not rolling through the Taco Bell in Dubuque. We were finding, like, the Great Danes of the local towns or, you know, whatever the – the Big Ten pubs of the places that we would be rolling through. So that was my policy.
Yeah, no, I was talking more like advice on if your kid didn't play well or that. I love a good food choice, don't get me wrong, but I'm always curious. I'm heading to St. Louis this weekend with another family on Max's team, and just want to get an understanding if they have tough games, they have good games. Right. What's the dialogue?
If they play bad, they ride in the trunk on the way back to the hotel.
Okay, that's what I thought. And Taco Bell. Yeah, okay. I think we're all on the same page.
You know, it's so different because Hogan was a rehash it, you know, himself. And Roan's you got to pull teeth to get anything out of him. So, but I, you know, like I stopped coaching Tausch, like I think when Roan was 9 years old and it was baseball. So it was a lot easier to do it as a, you know, parent that wasn't a coach versus a parent who also mm-hmm. coached. I don't know. I mean, I just sort of let them have their way with it.
Did you ever carpool with another father? And did you rule with an iron fist the way Tausch does when people carpool with him?
never rode with anybody because, as Jason knows, because his office at Lambeau is right by the bathroom, I make a lot of trips to the bathroom. I drink a lot of water.
We would be good then.
I don't want to have to, tell some guy he's got to stop for me every 90 minutes.
Woo, you are definitely not riding with old boy.
Yeah, we're not rolling. Sure. Nope, that's not happening. Yeah.
Plus, my kids would always be like, I want to be able to talk freely about the games. And if it's an 8-hour ride home from St. Louis, it's a long time to keep it.
God, I hope it's not 8 hours. I plugged it in my phone. It's only 5, but, man, it's snowstorms. I hope that's not the case. All right, Rob, let's get down to what we heard down at Radio Row with some of the Packer conversation.
Real quick, I caught the end of the very last segment, and I heard you guys talking about the Juju Fruits and Elaine. Do you, without Googling, do you remember the name of Elaine's boyfriend who she was going to see in the hospital before she stopped? Seinfeld had the greatest fake names, right? Like Bob Sacamano, Slippery Pete.
It's not Todd Gack, right?
It's not Todd
Buck
Gack.
Naked. What was his name? Let me think. Jake Jarmel. Jake Jarmel.
Jake Jarmel. Yep, there's alliteration with J. Very well done.
Wow, you guys, I'm impressed.
That's
pretty
next
good.
Level, Todd.
All right, Jake Jarmel and Josh Jacobs. What a perfect segue.
JJ.
They need a Seinfeld at wide receiver, or do they? You obviously, we all heard it. We all talked about it. We all wrote about it. What was your initial reaction? Because my first thought is, hey, he's got truth as a defense if people want to criticize him.
Yeah, sometimes the truth hurts. Look, he's a guy who has credibility in the locker room. This isn't a locker room troublemaker, right? So I think because of that, his words carry a little bit more weight. He came here and produced, and he wants to win. You can say that it's not going to play well in the locker room, but I think when you're, a veteran who wants to win and is doing everything you can, maybe who cares, that's the case. Now, it's not going to be easy for him to or those guys. I mean, look, he's created questions for other guys in the locker room, and I know that's not something that you want to do, right? Like, I get it. Because the first time we have availability, we're going to go over to 13's locker and 11's locker and 87's locker and, if Christian Watson is around. The other thing, he could have helped himself a little bit if he would have said, part of it is we're not going to have Christian Watson for the start of the season. Like, he could have used that as a – like, if I was advising him, I would have tried to tell him, hey, we're going to need a guy, especially because we're not going to have our deep threat guy. So I think that's kind of that sums it up from my perspective.
Do you think he was just talking about Davante Adams in general or specifically or no?
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
We also heard from Jordan Love, who we know is not the most colorful quote. Tausch wants me to put together my top 5 most quotable quarterbacks.
Oh, I thought he was going to ask you for your top 5 Jordan Love quotes. I don't know if I'd get past one or two.
You guys are 2 peas in a pod.
Gosh, really you guys are tough.
He's a really nice guy. Enjoy talking to him. It's just he's not going to fill the notebook.
He definitely doesn't. But I said that he was in a tough spot yesterday on NFL Live on ESPN. He knew he was going to be in a tough spot. He kind of went with this milk toast. Hey, you add good players to an already good offense. The sky's the limit. But I thought Tausch made a fantastic point, basically saying, look, put it on you. Hey, I need to help these guys be better. I got to be more accurate. When you think about how he kind of leads, this is on his plate now, thanks to Josh Jacobs. So how do you expect him to handle it?
Yeah, and it's sort of what the postgame or the postseason press conferences sort of led us down that road with the Packers saying they would like to see him take the next step from a leadership standpoint. Excuse me, and I'm not sure that yesterday's appearance, it didn't hurt that, but it didn't he didn't grab it by the horns and sort of, control the narrative and put a strong spin on it. So I think, maybe he's got a ways to go in that area. But, he has said, Jason, at various times, during the season, like, you know, I need to make a better throw. You know, when we're talking, asking about a specific play, it's not like he shirks responsibility, but yeah, I think he could have diffused the situation maybe a little bit more.
If you want a number one wide receiver, do you want Davante Adams back or do you want T. Higgins?
That
is a fantastic question. I would like to. Now, are there number one receivers that are younger? I mean, like, I would prefer to go younger. And I'm not saying, I mean, T. Higgins is the other name out there. And what, how old is T. Higgins? 26, 27? Not even sure.
Probably,
but
in that, yeah.
Like, doesn't have to be him. And I don't know, maybe there isn't a number one receiver that's available that still has that many more years left on him, because if that's the case, he's not available, right? And I guess I haven't watched enough, you know, tape on Devontae. I see the numbers, you know, still look good at times. But, you know, and like, you know, the Packers have let guy love Jordy Nelson, you know, like, think he's maybe one of the most impressive receivers I've ever seen. But when he left, you wouldn't have wanted him back, right? And I'm not saying Devontae is in that same category.
Well, Jason did.
I did. Yeah,
Jason. Jason thought he would have been really good with Rodgers another year or two.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I got to plead. I don't watch a lot of Raiders football games, I guess, and I also think it's not a Goody type of move. That's just not like, you know, it's not part of the plan. Not that he hasn't deviated from it at times, but I just don't see that. And maybe I'm naive or wrong, but I don't see that as a legitimate. Legitimate thing.
So, Rob, when you look at this thing, the receiving corps, because that's been such a, you know, conversation piece all week, if you had a bet, who is of this group of Packers wideouts, who's here in 3 years? Mm. Who did you say, I guarantee you, this guy gets a contract and is here for that next run of Jordan Love if it's two or 3 years down the road?
I mean, Jaden Reed would be my number one and probably number two and number three answers, because I don't know if there is anybody after him. You know, when this topic of number one receivers has been, I mean, it's been going on since Alan Lazard was the quote number one, right? But last offseason, in one of the either OTA, minicamp, or training camp media sessions with Jason Vrabel, former receivers coach, now passing game coordinator, his answer was, you know how we'll find out who the number one receiver is? It's who we pay, right? Like, and at this point, who do you pay? Now, you don't have to pay
That's
anybody.
That's kind of my question,
Yeah, you don't have to, though, Tausch. That's the thing is, you don't, you know, you can let Romeo Doubs play a whole another year before. You don't have to give him an extension in November or December. Like, it's just that, you don't, there's nothing, you know, he probably wants one, right? And the Christian Watson thing, as much as it sucks for him, and it sucks that the Packers aren't going to have him, in a sense, it buys them another year, because most likely he's going to have an incomplete 2025 season. Therefore, he will do a short-term, you know, I'm just 1 year, $6 million, seven, whatever it is, for 2026. And it's almost like you get another year before you have to really pay him big.
Yeah, you're right. I bring this up often just because I was there for the conversation where you had talked to some people around the league. I think it was during training camp that we had this conversation with Jaden Reed and the idea of him being a 100-catch guy.
100-catch guy. Yep.
Instead, he was a 10-drop guy, and his numbers actually, in some categories anyway, decreased over last year when he was a rookie. What went awry there? And what does he need to do moving forward to be that guy? Because clearly he felt aggrieved, although he turned it around on the fans, which I didn't understand before he deleted the tweet, about what Josh Jacobs said.
Well, I think the whole receiver thing got completely out of whack from the beginning when Jordan Love got hurt at the end of the opener, right? Like, I mean, that's just – and then you played two games, and I know it's only two – but two games where passing numbers were just minuscule compared to what they would normally be. And then even when Jordan came back, it wasn't like they were clicking right away. So, I mean, I sort of said to myself at the end of September, man, by the end of this season, there's not going to be a receiver that has number one type of numbers because it's just all out of whack. Now, it turns out there wasn't a number one receiver with either numbers or just the go-to-ness of that position. And I mean, like, I'm going to say it, and you guys are probably sick of me hearing it, but I still think Tucker Kraft could be a George Kittle type of number, Rob Gronkowski type of number one receiver. Like, I mean, I know there was a, I think Tom Silverstein did an article at the end of the season, near the end of the season, in which Tucker Kraft, in a very, very polite way, basically said, I would like the ball more. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, the headline wasn't Tucker Kraft demands more role, but that was essentially, and I wasn't there when Tucker said it. I don't know if he said it to Spoon one-on-one or it was in a group and I just wasn't there for it. And the story really didn't get, you know, a whole lot of, it didn't get any, like, nobody picked it up from an aggregation thing and said Tucker Kraft wants to be the number one guy or whatever. But
Jesse, get that. Let's go. Aggregate that. Let's go. What are you doing?
Yeah, right. So, but you guys know that, I mean, since training camp or the start of the season, this past season, I think he has a skill set that has been tapped lightly, but is still untapped.
Mm-hmm. All right, Rob, last one for me. If you're a betting man, before the draft, does Brian Gutekunst pick up a wide receiver?
Sure, I'd throw a Ulysses Grant on there that he did.
Okay,
that he will.
All right.
Not, I mean, not saying you're not telling me it's a you know, 4 year, you know, $30 million a year guy. I'd go add somebody. Yeah, I do. I thought you were gonna, when you were talking about betting, I thought you were gonna ask me for a Super Bowl wager of some sort because a few years ago, more than a few.
Do you want me to? Okay.
We were
so now, what do you think about the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Super Bowl previews aren't really our thing around
here,
Rob.
Super Bowl previews coming up, Rob.
I've never wagered on a sporting event, but the night before the Super Bowl, a number of years ago, sitting around playing poker with some buddies, and a friend of mine goes, yeah, I bet, I think he put like $25 on a safety being the first score of the Super Bowl, and we completely mocked it. Like, just, wow, that was a total waste of money.
Seattle, Denver.
Snapped it over,
Peyton's head.
Snapped it over Peyton's head, and he won like $750. And then if you remember, I think it happened again either the next year or the year after. It's happened twice, and he had money on both of them. So I no longer make fun of people who stop that.
Wow. Good for Madsen.
I almost spit out my water. It was not bad.
All right, Rob. I know you're focused on basketball. The other thing that has come up a lot, though, and look, Josh Jacobs, for everything he said, he also said they need a defensive end and they need a defensive back. When you look at those two positions, I think you and I, and it would appear Josh Jacobs and Keyshawn Nixon all think that Jair is done in Green Bay.
And
we don't know what they're going to do to fix their pass rush. What are your expectations at those two positions as we kind of move forward here? I'm guessing you're not putting a Ulysses S. Grant on Myles Garrett being a Packer.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But I think even Jordan Love may have said it this morning in one of his appearances, knowing us, we'll go defense, excuse me, early in the draft. So
unless they go cornerback.
Right. So pick, what are they, 23? Is that where they're picking?
Yeah, Brian Bulaga.
So pick 23, you know, the defensive tackle, defensive end from, I don't know, Marshall or whoever the Georgia. Big guy from the Senior Bowl was, and then pick 45, the cornerback from Clemson or wherever, right? Like that's probably what we're looking at.
All right, Rob, what's the basketball schedule this weekend? Big win for the Vikings of Lawrence. Yeah.
So this is, tonight is day 4 out of 5 in a row. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday games. 3 for the DePere Redbirds, 2 for the Lawrence Vikings. Like, to me, like, my wife is like, oh, man, that's a lot of basketball. I'm like, man, can we play Sunday? Like, can we get a game Sunday, too? One of them was a makeup day last night at Sheboygan South because of that one day they had no school with the freezing cold. But, yeah, man, like, to me, is there a better week five games in a row, and I don't have to travel to the Super Bowl. So.
Yeah, I. You know what? The three of us. That's how we operate, right? I mean, I had this weekend.
I would have liked to have seen Mike Holmgren get in, and like that would have been, if had he gotten in and been there to talk to him for the NFL honors, would have been a cool story. And boy, he might be in. He didn't get in this year. It's because Belichick's up next year, right?
Yeah, if he doesn't return to the league. So I was pretty strongly opinionated, which, as you know, does not happen very often. I thought he got hosed, and I think the fact that they changed the voting. Now, Pete Doherty is our representative still, is that right?
I believe so, yes.
They changed the voting. So basically, Holmgren, instead of just being voted on his own merits, it was him versus the seniors committee nominees and the contributor nominee, and I thought he got hosed. Are you with me or no?
Yeah, I don't know. Darren Gant wrote a really good piece on the Panthers website because Luke Kuechly was up, and he explained the 80% thing, and he did it from a mathematical. He had some mathematical whiz, certainly smarter than any of us, including him.
And him.
And he basically said it's hard. It's just really hard to get 80% now. I don't know. I really thought Mike was going to get in. I had heard from some people that the discussion on him was really positive. And they people that were on the committee that I talked to felt like Holmgren had a decent shot and Sharp was maybe more 50-50, and obviously it turned out the other way.
So Pete was wrong. Oh, interesting.
Rob, enjoy.
I'm out of water. I have to go pee. I think he drank 15 Dr. Peppers.
Enjoy your basketball. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
All right, guys. We'll be seeing you.
That is the great Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. You can read all of his stuff at ESPN.com as well as on ESPNWisconsin.com.